Amen. I appreciate the good challenge from the Word of God. She said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He wants us to comprehend that truth. I can read it, but I don't comprehend it. But I got a teacher on the inside. He's called the Holy Ghost. And he guides us into all truth. So he wants me to comprehend the truth. He wants me to know the truth about him, who he is. He's not a cross between Grandpa and Santa Claus. He's a holy God, sovereign God, mighty God, and he's our God. So he wants us to know the truth about Christ, but he wants us to know the truth about ourselves. We lie to ourselves quite often. And therefore, the Spirit of God is grieved, and we're limiting God in what he does. So he wants us to comprehend the truth, but he wants us to be conformed to that truth. And then he wants us to communicate the truth. That's very, very important. I want to invite your attention tonight to a passage of Scripture found in the book of John. John's Gospel, chapter number 8. And don't let the familiarity of the passage rob you of what the Lord might have for us. I want to read the first 12 verses of John's Gospel, John chapter number 8. And my emphasis tonight is that I believe that God wants us to be messengers of mercy. We're not saved by works, but according to his mercy, he's washed us by the regeneration and doing of the Holy Ghost. But in John's Gospel, chapter number 8, I begin reading in verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, I'm preaching tonight on being a messenger of mercy. We've got too many agents of change today. God didn't leave us here to be an agent of change, but he left us here to be messengers of mercy. Is that not what the missionaries are doing? Is that not what we're commanded to do? We're to show mercy on others. Would you pray and ask God to speak to your heart? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you tonight for your goodness and mercy to us. I pray in Jesus' name that you might that you might fill us with your power and that you might accomplish your purpose tonight. We thank you for this church. Thank you for its history and for its involvement in getting the gospel to those who've never heard. And dear Lord, I pray that you'd whet our spiritual appetite. Lord, cause us to desire to be more like thee. And I pray that you'd help us to determine by the grace of God that we'd practice being messengers of mercy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Saul of Tarsus got saved on the Damascus Road. And in his conversion, he said there was a light from heaven. But every time he repeats his conversion experience, it gets bigger and bigger. In chapter 22 of Acts, he said there's a great light from heaven. In chapter 26 of Acts, he said that light was greater than the light of the noonday sun. And I'm going to say to you how important it is to tell it again and again and again and again. 62 years ago last night, I stepped in by faith into the family of God. God saved my soul. I'm grateful for, listen, over 56 years ago, called me to preach his word. I say amen to our brother. I believe that God's call is real. And I don't believe this idea that just because there's a need that it constitutes a call. It might be a part of it, but it doesn't constitute a call. It's that time when God the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Jacob Rutledge, separate me." And I'm saying it's that time when God confirmed in our heart what his will was. And I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad for the missionary emphasis that I've been exposed to for years and years and years. There was a man that pastored the church that I was a member of and the church I was called to preach in. He was the first pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida. His name was Harold Bowe. Harold Bowe, they met on the front porch of a house across the street. And God gave him property, and he had a successful ministry there. But in that ministry, Brother Harold Bowe won a man to Christ named Jim Cooper. And Dr. Buffington came there in 63, and Brother Jim is making his way to go to the mission field. He was called to preach at Calvary Baptist Church. He went to Tennessee Temple and got training there, left Tennessee Temple, went back to Lakeland and started a church on the west side of Lakeland. He preached on missions one Sunday morning and no one responded but Jim Cooper. He responded to his own preaching, surrendered that day to go to the mission field, and he resigned the church. It was before mission boards was popular, and so he went to the West Indies to start a church. He started a church in South Caicos, and the name of the church was Calvary Baptist Church. In those days, the embers of missions was red hot in our church. Jim felt led of the Lord to start. Now, this is Harold Bowe, one Jim Cooper. Jim Cooper goes to South Caicos, and in that ministry early on, Jim Cooper led a man to the Lord, a Haitian or West Indian. He led that man to Christ. His name was Howard Mills. Got burdened about, he got that church started, got burdened about Grand Turk, the island of Grand Turk. Went to Grand Turk and started Northside Baptist Church. Started Northside Baptist Church in Grand Turk. God called a second man out of our church named Jack Harvey. He could have been a professional baseball player, but he gave it all to the Lord, and he went to Grand Turk and pastored that. His daughter married a Yankee from Wisconsin, and they were in our church. And then God called Don Isley to go help in that ministry. And he was a pilot. The first time I flew into the West Indies, he had a twin-engine Navion. We left Lakeland on a Monday morning, And he got out there and the thing wouldn't crank. The battery was dead. And so he got out there and he had to take the prop and crank that thing. Made me a little nervous. and a lot of things about that. But God used Jack's daughter married Don Isley, and then they're part of that. And then they left there and went to Germany as missionaries. And then God called Jack's boy to preach. Jack's pastored in, J.S. pastored in Paterson, New Jersey for years and years. I could go on and on. Jim went to Nassau, Bahamas and started Baptist Bible Church. And God put Howard Mills in as the pastor. And that church was successful. He started another church, a New Testament Baptist Church, in Nassau, Bahamas. The young man who was over the youth in Baptist Bible Church was called of God to preach, and he's pastoring New Testament Baptist Church in Nassau. It's because someone showed mercy. Someone showed mercy. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad that God's mercies are brand new every morning. In my early ministry in Thomasville, Georgia, we was able to win a couple of fellows to the Lord. One was named Hank Williams. And the other was, now I don't know about the other Hank Williams, this Hank Williams got saved. But Hank Williams got saved. And God called Hank to preach. And God called his brother, Don, to preach. And both of them pastored. Hank's daughter went to Crown College and met a man at Crown College, and they fell in love and married. And they've been in England as a missionary for several years. I'm telling you, you don't know. You do not know what God can do with one contact. We've got two. Are you listening?
Amen.
I'm going to get to John in 8. But we've got too many people who want a front yard ministry. But I'm going to say to you, somebody's got to take care of the backyard. Somebody's got to take place that place back there that no one's interested in. George Whitfield, great, great preacher. George Whitfield had a burden for souls. And he'd go out to try to meet the workers as they finished their day of work. He'd go out and try to preach to them, witness to them. And George Whitfield said this. He said, "They're all going to hell and they don't care. But I care."
Yeah.
But I care. I'm telling you, America is on the toboggan sled toward hell today. But we ought to care.
Yes, sir.
We ought to care enough to give out a tract, care enough to invite folk to Christ, care enough to support missions. Amen. But we're to be messengers of mercy. We're not agents of change. I detest that thought anyway. It's the fact that the churches that started out years ago that claimed to be fundamental, and today they don't even use a Bible. And today they have no separation standards whatsoever. You see the church services almost like they would fit better at a dance club somewhere or in a bar somewhere, rather, and folk don't care. They don't care. Could I tell you, God cares? And if you're right with God, you'll care. So I'm going to preach a little while on being a messenger of mercy. I'm glad that someone gave me the gospel. A crisis is the most tense part of a battle, when the enemy forces are at their most hostile point of opposition. And we're living in a hostile society today. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but everything seems to be bent against God and against the Word of God. And I say this, we in the church are facing the most tense point of opposition from the world. The Bible said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. I'm saying to you, we're living in a real battle, and it's intensifying. It's getting stronger every day. And so the world has determined that it's going to try to prevail against the church. But I'm going to say to you, I have a chapter and a verse where Jesus said, Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We're on the winning team, amen. We won't have to come to that last few seconds of the game, kick a field goal, see whether we won or not. We're already more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so I'm reminded that the world is becoming more and more wicked as the days go on. And this account, and by the way, there's folk who want to question this account. This is a valid account that our Lord has given about a woman in the very act of adultery. And by the way, if the Pharisees and the Sadducees was interested in justice, they'd have brought the man too. And so the story is valid. It fits the very character of our Lord Jesus. He, are you listening? He is the greatest of all forgivers. Aren't you glad that he said he'd remember our sins against us no more forever? That's mercy, amen. That's God withholding from me what I rightfully deserve. And I say this, he is the greatest of all forgivers. And we find the contrast between the self-righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees and the tender compassion and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, he lifted me. He, that's grace, that's mercy. He lifted me. And so I see this, the tender compassion, our compassion and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's mercy is an attribute of our God. Notice them in Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, and let's read it in Psalm 103 and verse number 8, I believe I'm looking at, yes, Psalm 103 and verse number 8. And here's the way it reads. He said in verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He's what? He's plenteous in mercy. In the book of Psalm, again, notice him is Psalm 86. And let's look at verse number 5 of Psalms 86. And the scripture reads this way in Psalm 85 and verse number 6. He said, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. It's to recognize this, that God is a God of mercy. Praise God and the Lamb forever. It's just a part of the essence and nature of God, the very character of God. He is a merciful Savior. And I say it this way: God is merciful and God is good. He can't help it. He's merciful and God is good. And so I say this: he can't help it. It's just a part of God's nature. It's just a God, part of God's nature to be merciful. And so mercy is not only an attribute of God, it is the action of God. He dealt with us in mercy. Mercy is an action of God, and it is the activity of God. He dealt with us in mercy. God expects us, are you listening? God expects us to be merciful because God himself is merciful. And the fact is, you cannot say that you are compassionate and that you love people if you do not show them mercy. Be careful. I'm not talking about watering anything down. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about cutting corner, but I am talking about being like Jesus and being merciful to those who need mercy. You can't say that you are merciful if you are not involved in the ministry of showing mercy. Showing mercy to people who are in need of mercy. And so in the book of Mark chapter 1 verse 41, Jesus talking about a leper. And Jesus, the Bible said, was moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion. And so the move of compassion was required for the mercy to be demonstrated. The move of compassion. Better say that one more time. It's that matter of the move of compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. The move of compassion was required for mercy to be demonstrated. And so God takes delight in showing mercy to sinners. Amen. He said, blessed are the merciful in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 7. And so mercy is to feel sympathy with the need, the misery that a person might be in. It is the sympathy that manifests itself in action. And it is the inward feeling of compassion that abides in the heart of a person, and it's demonstrated by his outward actions and his activities. Yeah. And so I see this. God wants me to be merciful. I'm sorry, but sometimes I hear preachers talking about the matter of the chastening of God, the judgment of God, and it's almost like they're conveying the idea that they're glad about somebody going to die and go to hell. But I tell you, Jesus loves sinners, and Jesus showed mercy to sinners. And so society and the world, the flesh, the devil, is looking for agents of change. But God wants us to be messengers of mercy. Mercy, the songwriter said, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon was multiplied to me at Calvary. Thank God for his mercy. And so the church is in danger of becoming professional and being program driven. And by the way, could I tell you, the Lord Jesus did not commission us to go and get folks to make decisions. He said we're to make disciples. And there's a vast difference in that. And so it says God has not called us to be agents of change, but messengers of mercy. And so God expects me to be a messenger of mercy. Now listen, I believe that folks ought to dress right when they come to the house of God. And I believe that that dress ought to affect the way they dress the other 6 days of the week. Amen. But someone comes in your midst that's not dressed right, they don't know any better. I'm not talking about compromise, but I'm talking about being merciful, showing mercy to those who need mercy. And by the way, they need mercy. And if they don't receive mercy, they're going to go to hell. And so I see this. We're not agents of change. We're messengers of mercy. And so God expects us to be messengers of mercy. Now, here's the thought. Point number one. We should be messengers of mercy because of the demand for mercy. Messengers of mercy. Now, and so in our account given in John chapter number 8, the woman was taken in adultery. The man's not brought. And if they were interested in justice, they would have brought both of them there. But the world, are you listening? The world is not interested in mercy. Fact is, for that, he's called Jesus. He's going to come and take us away. And then and they don't tell him what they'll say then. That those religious quacks, those nuts, they all disappeared. Praise God, we're going to that land, that sphere, that Sinners recognize their need for mercy. In Luke chapter 18, two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a self-righteous Pharisee. And he said, God, I thank thee that I'm not like anybody else. And everybody in the temple said, thank God. And the old publican would not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven, but smote him upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And by the way, I don't know what you prayed when you got saved, but I believe that publican got born again by the grace of God. He's asking for mercy. The blind man was extended mercy. The woman at Canaan was said, have mercy. Blind Bartimaeus was seeking mercy. The rich man in hell was wanting mercy to be showed to his brethren. And so we ought to be inviting sinners to come because they need mercy. They need mercy, and Jesus had to respond. He could not just ignore the penalty of the law because he was incarnate truth. And neither could he punish her to the fullest extent of the law because he was incarnate grace and truth and grace. Yet he extended mercy. He showed mercy. He said, where are those thine accusers? Is there no man that condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And the change of vocabulary. I say to you, number two, we ought to be mercenaries. By faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, I'll read it correctly. In verse number 8, chapter number 8, in verse number 1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. And so that's a delight of mercy. There are no accusers. She's been delivered. And the Lord Jesus had extended mercy. Then I see, number three, the deliverance of mercy. It doesn't stop there. For free from the condemnation, not only free from the penalty of sin, but free from the practice of sin. He said, go and sin no more. There's something wrong about this crowd that talks about getting saved and their lifestyle never changes. They still drink their booze. They still take God's name in vain. They still dress like the world. They have no convictions whatsoever. I believe they got a counterfeit. And so it's this, go and sin no more. You can live a new life in Jesus Christ by his mercy. And so the world needs to hear that message. It's a new hope. It's a better way. It's a fresh start. And by the way, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. But then notice with me the last thought, and I'll notice verse 12. The Bible said in verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, what's he saying? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen, light always shines in a straight path. I'm grateful for the light of the world. That's the Lord Jesus. He's addressing the crowd, and he said, I am the light of the world. And so you and I are what? We're light holders. We're holding, listen, he's addressing the crowd. We're light holders of the grace and mercy of God. Where I go, I ought to act like Jesus and say the same mercy and grace. Mercy. When you get what you want to show other people, when you love, you will show mercy and you'll show kindness. You may not love all the people like God wants you to. But if I love God, because of that, God commands me to go and display mercy. It's a merciful thing to be able to take the Word of God and point an individual to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You can't save them. I can't save them. But I can be an instrument that God can use. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not about the vessel. It's about the treasure. And God said, now, if you'll do this, if you'll take care of the treasure, I'll take care of the vessel. And so we're going out day by day, and step by, we live our lives that we might have opportunity to show mercy. God's not interested in agents of change. He wants us to be messengers of mercy. My older brother was on prescription drugs, heavy. And Dr. Buffington, on Christmas Day many years ago, was dealing with my brother in his office, and Dr. Buffington called me. I was pastoring in Thomasville. He called me, and he said, your brother says he's going to come off of these prescription drugs without any help. And he said, what do you think? And I said, Dr. Buffington, I know God is able, and I can't answer that question. But my brother got saved that day because there was someone who showed him mercy, and he did come off of those drugs, and he came off of it with the help of God, because God showed my brother mercy. And I'm grateful that the Lord has extended his mercy to us day by day. Just to think the fact that when we woke up this morning, we could get up. And those mercies are brand new every morning. God help us to be good messengers of mercy. The world is on the way to the devil's hell, and we have the only message that'll keep folk out of hell. May God help us to be faithful and loyal to show mercy to those who are hurting, those who are without Christ, those who are without help.